All right. Now we should actually be broadcasting on the Facebook page of the Karlsøy Festival, as well as various other platforms and of mine on YouTube and Twitter and various places. And I'm just verifying. Oh yeah, there I am on their website. Okay, I'll on their Facebook page. I'll just close that so we can have as streamlined a connection as possible, and hopefully people followed us to the right place. And sorry about technical issues. And I heard about the Karlsøy Festival on many occasions from friends in Trondheim there, Bjørn Hugo and other wonderful folks there in Trondheim. Heard about it for years before I ever managed to go, and it just sounded like a wonderful festival. And then when I did manage to get there in 2011, it was indeed a wonderful experience. Although I had... for some reason, I was like, you know, I was such a regular, constant world traveler at the time that I was in the habit of not only booking tours without looking at a map, but just, you know, going on memory of that I knew where everything was. It's a terrible thing to do. And then I was also booking gigs without looking at the weather report, you know, for the place I was going to. So I got to Karlsøy. I got to that part of Norway in the Arctic. The nearest airport is Tromsø, I got to Tromsø, and then I was freezing cold because it was freezing out, and like literally, you know, it was freezing. It was August, but it was freezing, and it hadn't occurred to me that it might be actually freezing in August. So I did not bring anything but a light jacket with me. So it was. I was cold, and then I took a bus and a ferry and got to the island. And luckily, the wonderful folks I was staying with had lots of extra jackets to loan to people who were, who were in need of warm clothing. And but the jacket that I borrowed had this. It was a black jacket with a white stripe along the bottom, and apparently it was the same jacket that the cops wore. So, you know, basically in the twilight there, you know, it's sort of usually twilight, kind of like light out, but you know, not that light out, and so you know, you're seeing lots of silhouettes of people. And there were at this festival like 800 people at the festival, but there were always one or two cops, two cops actually, right? Two cops, maybe with a dog walking around it much of the time. And like Norway is a relatively peaceful place. You know, you can march in the streets and the cops will escort your march. They won't attack you with tear gas for marching. You know, it's a civilized country, but they've really, you know, kind of draconian drug laws. And police were wandering around this festival full of people who, half of whom smoke pot on a regular basis, of course, including me. And the cops are walking around looking for people smoking pot. So naturally, people are like being quiet and, you know, about their pot smoking activities. And which then meant that anytime I'm walking around with this jacket that makes me look like an undercover cop, people hide their joints. So was just the opposite of the effect intended, but I had the opposite of what I was hoping, you know, but I had a great time anyway, despite the fact that people hid their joints from me when I approached. But I'll start out with a little public service announcement. Maybe I'll be joined by a baby. Wear a mask, wear a mask for any task, especially if you're indoors or there's not much space from my face to yours. If you care, then you wear a barrier of some kind between your face and mine. Over time, you will find it's just about as hard as remembering your credit card. Go on strike, as you like, but out there on the picket line, keep some space between the signs. Go to the mall, have a ball, but if you're there to shop or loot the place, don't forget to cover your face. Sanitize, sanitize, watch out for spies, watch for spies, undercover cops, provocateurs, divide and conquer connoisseurs. Drive a tank, rob a bank, just make sure you dress appropriately as you walk off with the money. Go downtown, and burn down the police station, but be wise and wash the tear gas from your eyes. Yes, wear a mask. And by the way, since I was originally going to be broadcasting on various, I guess, pages controlled by the folks running the festival, the Karlsruhe Festival, but as it happens, there were some technical issues, so we're just on the Karlsruhe Festival's Facebook page along with my various platforms. But what that means technically is that if you're watching on Karlsruhe's Facebook page, you can comment on, you know, what you're watching if you want to, and I'll see your comments, which is kind of cool, because otherwise by doing a concert feels a lot like playing music in my living room for nobody. But I just imagine there are people watching, and some of them are Norwegian. And some of them are actually in Norway. And at least one of them is on the island Karlsruhe, which is a beautiful, beautiful island in the Arctic. It was so beautiful that it's so beautiful in Karlsruhe. How beautiful is it in Karlsruhe? Well, it's so beautiful that you can get 800 people together, most of whom are not like really into technology necessarily. Like they'd rather be wearing organic fibers and being outdoors, I think, you know. But they instead, every 5 minutes, people were taking pictures of the mountains and the new dramatic angle of the sun against the mountains, which up there in the north in the Arctic is just astounding. The beauty is hard to really capture. Well, you can't really capture it very well if in a photograph or any other way. You just have to be there, but it's astounding. And it's so astounding that even like the locals, like, or at least the local, at least Norwegians coming from mainly other parts of Norway further to the south, are so stunned by the beauty that they have to constantly take pictures. It's not just the foreigners. Another thing I learned about being at a festival in the Arctic in Norway there is that people go out for walks at all times of the day or night when it's light all the time, and their sleep patterns get completely disrupted. It's not just the foreigners either, because I saw Norwegian families, like, you know, with little kids and stuff, walking around at 2 a.m. taking a little stroll. You know, it just doesn't seem to. They get affected too. So there's a lot going on in the world. And here's a song I wrote a couple weeks ago. But my guitar is making weird jangly. Okay. Like an old cloth torn and fraying, came like a clarion call to illustrate the saying, united we stand, divided we fall. A thin veneer torn by disease shredded the great con laid bare. Come from across the seas, now floating in the air, like a corpse that's lying exposed, that all of us now can see, all that the cadaver shows about a society. The veil of fantasy lifted gives us at least some idea how another world is possible. And I can hear her breathing now. Like the red blood that flows from the bullet, whether coated in rubber or not, like the faces you see in the helmet, reflecting the thickening plot. Driven by such a villain as a thing exponential allows, says another world is possible. And I can hear her breathing now. Like the pallor on so many faces, on every end of the town, on the murals in so many places, boarded up and long ago shut down. Making all the connections between the mule and the plow, says another world is possible. And I can hear her breathing now. Smoke rising up coast to coast, with formations that brighten the skies, like Lord Thomas Jefferson's ghost, his victims no longer disguised, as his visage falls into the river, like the skull of an old sacred cow, says another world is possible. I can hear her breathing now. Another world is possible, and I can hear her breathing now. Ago, and well, I know the experiences that we have change, and you know, they started out being with a lot of similarities, perhaps in different parts of the wealthy world, And then they started diverging a lot as it became clear that the United States is, in fact, a failed state, and other countries are not failed states, as evidenced by their ability to deal with a national global emergency. It seems, as it's not surprising to many people that Norway is one of the non-failed states, but this is definitely a failed state over here, and here's a song about that I wrote well before the pandemic. When you costs $1 million, and you can't pay the rent. When politicians say they'll help, but it keeps getting worse each time the landlord lobby pulls the strings of the purse. When the human right to housing isn't even part of the debate, you know you're living in a failed state. Citizens are spending half their lives locked up in a prison for trying to survive. When laws must be broken just to have a place to stay, when the prisons pay the senators to look the other way. If you have to be a criminal to put food upon your plate, you know you're living in a failed state. When you're facing climate breakdown, when the trees are all on fire, when half the country's underwater, when a climate change denier runs the nation, and the opposition party votes for oil rigs and pipelines, it's not so much a country as it is a corporation. Buckling under its weight, you know you're living in a failed state. When your nation is an empire facing daily blowback, and the only thing your leaders can think to do is attack. Bipartisan consensus, that we need to spend $700 billion before the year's end on a military budget to make America great, you know you're living in a failed state. Every day some psycho with a gun has to open fire on a crowd before it's done. When a music festival becomes a free fire zone, and all they can say is it's okay now, he was acting alone. Buy some armor, pray to God, and hide behind a gate, you know you're living in a failed state. You know you're living in a failed state. You know you're living in a failed state. Lower the screen so you can see the guitar a little more. I was in Trondheim. I guess I can't remember what the first time I met some of those wonderful Trondheim folks, Bjorn Hugo and other folks at the NATO protest in Sweden. I guess it was 2004 or 2005. NATO was meeting in Sweden, even though Sweden is not a NATO country, so it's a little mysterious. But they were meeting in Sweden, and so there were folks coming, especially from Norway across the border in Trondheim to protest, and lots of other folks from other parts of Scandinavia. And of course, they're skipping around here. I mean, thinking about the last verse of that last song, I was at the Karlsøy Festival at this incredibly beautiful island in the north of Norway, in the Arctic Circle. I guess it was just a week after the massacre in Oslo and Utøya, and then I was in Oslo a few days after the Karlsøy Festival, surveying the damage from the bomb and the flowers all over the cathedral where I had last remembered hanging out with folks on hunger strike when Afghans were hoping not to be deported, and they were on hunger strike there in front of the Oslo Cathedral. And and it was, I guess, on one of my earlier visits to Trondheim, that after playing at UFA, at the anarchist-oriented, anti-fascist-oriented kind of punk club that burnt down, I think, twice already. But the new one is all back and in good shape. And but it was after playing at UFA, then there was a sort of impromptu demonstration at a local police station. And folks, it was just around the time of the G8 protests in Rostock coming up, and there was a whole spate of cars being burned in Germany, like of rich people, and prior to those protests coming up, just to kind of set the stage properly. And in Norway, there weren't any cars of rich people being burned, to my knowledge. But there was a very large toy police car that was burned in front of the police station and in front of the social office. And the reason for picking that location was because a Norwegian cop a year earlier, I believe, had strangled an African man to death. Happens a lot more often here, but it happens there too. This is about one such incident, Colorado last year, that's getting some attention recently. His family moved from Denver to Aurora. Mama thought they'd be safer out there, away from all the hubbub of the city, closer to the mountains and fresh air. Some kids are into fancy cars and football, or getting lots of tattoos on their shin. Elijah played the violin. Some kids are into hamburgers and hot dogs. Other kids just do things their own way. Elijah was a vegetarian. On his lunch breaks, he would go and play music for the animals at the shelter. The staff would welcome their young comrade with a grin. Elijah played the violin. As a young man, Elijah moved in with his cousin. He became a massage therapist. He had a kind and open hand, while others only knew the fist, such as the men in blue who were called one night to assault their unknown kin. Elijah played the violin. They slammed him into a wall. They threw him to the ground. Although he made no effort to fight back, they choked him till he vomited, and then they did it more. No body cams recorded the attack. Elijah said he couldn't breathe. He was begging for his life. So they shot him full of ketamine. Elijah played the violin. He went into cardiac arrest soon after he was dead. And he had not committed one offense, aside from being black in these disunited states and trying to exist in the present tense. Nothing happened to the cops. They were just following procedures, killing people for the color of their skin. Elijah played the violin. Elijah played the violin. Elijah played the violin. Well, I'm just going with random songs that remind me of something having to do with Norway, but you know, if anybody has any suggestions, I'm very open to them. Oh, here's one. My friend Bjørn Magni Stusdal, who did a fantastic animation for Dana Lyon's song Cows with Guns. Bjørn Magni is from the Oslo area, and he's also done really great animations of several of my songs. And I was I was asking Bjorn Magni, you know, what he thought I should write about next, or what we should maybe work on together, and he suggested that I should write a song that combines the themes of pirates and Santa Claus, because he said Norwegians love piracy and they love Christmas, and I think he was really hit on something there. So I did write a song called Pirate Santa. And then, like, his hard drive crashed and he lost all his animations. But so we never turned that into a video. But this is one of the songs that has tended to be a favorite among my audiences in Scandinavia. Nonetheless, this is not about Christmas, but it is about pirates. Come all you sailors near and far, you honest men know who you are. All of you who dare be free, combine with us upon the sea. Together we will drink a toast, ride the wind on down the coast. See the merchant ship aboard, raise a jar and swing a sword. Watch to see the merchant captain crying when they see the black flag flying. The war with Spain is over now, no more Jack over the bow. We fight for no one but our class, we're gonna kick some captain's ass. All you'd live before you die, come give an honest life a try. Sail beneath the skull and bones, pay no heed to crowns and thrones. No more greedy princes lying, when you come sail with the black flag flying. No more whips and no more chains, to live free or die is what remains. If life is too short either way, you might as well live free today. All for one and one for all, we'll board the ship and make the call. Join us all, you good men, and have your liberty again. Watch the crew now leave their captain frying, as they come sail with the black flag flying. And Robert's brave and true, and Mary Kelly's gallant crew. It seems to me the world is ours. Watch as the mighty Navy cowers. We have no nation but the sea, no creed but that we will live free. Loot and burn all that we can, that's run by a dishonest man. Their end is near, there is no denying, when they see the black flag flying. If I could predict the future, then I would. But all I know is this is good. 1720 is the year, and there is nothing left to fear. We may live or we may die, perhaps our destiny is nigh. I don't know what the end may hold, but only these ships are filled with gold that was stolen from the poor as we lay dying. So let us sail with the black flag flying. Playing at the Trondheim Festival, at the Karlsøy Festival there in Karlsøy, the north of Norway, was the only time I've ever played at a festival where I was happy about the really, really bright stage lights, because normally those really bright stage lights are really annoying and make you sweat. and make you your guitar go out of tune, and they're just not nice, except that they light you up, which people tend to like to be able to see the people they're listening to. But it was so cold. It was actually, you know, it was August, but it was below freezing. I remember my one set, you know, I'd been there for days having a great time in the frozen, you know, island. I finally came to my set, which was, I think I got there on a Monday, and my set was like on a Friday evening. And by which time, of course, it was well below freezing. And then I got on the stage wondering how this was going to go, because I have played on many occasions when it's below freezing and there's a problem with the functioning of the hands in those situations generally. I think the only time I actually played at an event where I just abandoned the effort of playing the guitar was at a February protest in Ottawa, Ontario, which is known to be much colder than Toronto, which is already known to be a very cold place. But Ottawa is colder. It's more further north, and it's away from the river. No, it's on the river, actually. It's further north, though. Anyway, I don't know. Why is it so much colder in Ottawa? Or is it just the reputation? I don't know. But it's cold. It was really cold that February. The taxi drivers were on strike, and I was playing for the taxi drivers, and I got through one song, I believe. No, I don't. I think I got through half the song, and I couldn't feel my fingers, and they wouldn't function. And then they started hurting instead of being numb. And then I just gave up. That was thankfully not the case at the Karlsruhe Festival because of those lights. Here's a song that doesn't exist on any recordings. Actually, a lot of these songs are like that. I was thinking about making a record with this title before the pandemic, and then now the idea of living in the Matrix just seems so passé. But The Matrix is one of my favorite movies, all-time favorite movies for sure. The first one, the others suck, but the first one is great. And it feels like living in the Matrix much of the time, increasingly with technology. And then with the pandemic, it feels so much like living in the Matrix that it's like passé now. We're a bunch of people gathered at UFA watching you. Oh, that's wonderful. It's so nice to even just imagine that there may be an actual group of people in a punk rock club in Norway watching this. It just makes it feel so much more like I'm playing at a Norwegian festival, just seeing that message. It's amazing. But it's that also reminds me of The Matrix, because like the way, you know, they would be in that boat and they'd be looking at their screens and they'd see just a whole bunch of text. But for them, their minds would translate that into imagery. I mean, it's increasingly like that, right? And I mean, I really feel that way. I see that text, and I feel like I can see these folks in UFA. I can smell the cigarette smoke, the stale cigarette smoke in there. Here in the Matrix, we're trained our whole lives to obey. Get up when the alarm goes off in the morning. Go to work each day, you can eat three meals. You just might have to trade in your free will. You don't have to be captured by aliens for reality to be such a bitter pill. Here in the Matrix, the men in the ivory towers say we can remake the world around us. If we put in the hours, if we work hard and play by the rules, it may not be true, but still, the fantasy is nicer when reality is such a bitter pill. Here in the Matrix, people argue about TV. Sometimes they complain about not enough diversity among the talking heads provided by the people mill. while we're hooked up to their machines, where reality is such a bitter pill. Here in the Matrix, people talk about being aware. They'll critique you for dropping some litter or for not washing your hair. And if you talk of launching a revolution, they'll say that you should be killed. You gotta work within the system, they'll say. Yes, reality is such a bitter pill. Here in the Matrix, they'll say the problems that exist can all be solved by means provided if we politely persist. Work in your offices, vote in your booths for the men on the hill. Just ignore your nightmares about those creatures, because reality is such a bitter pill. Yes, reality is such a bitter pill. Well, knowing that there are people at UFA watching, I just have to do this next song because they like it at UFA. At least they used to. Maybe they do now. Maybe they don't. I don't know. I haven't been there in a while. We have people watching in the Canadian Rocky Mountains as well as in Trondheim, which I believe you're at a similar latitude. Although it's colder in the Rockies. When I wrote this song, I was afraid I would alienate a lot of my friends, and then it turned out that the vast majority of them had a much better sense of humor than I was afraid they might, and this song seems to be especially well received in Scandinavia for whatever reason, although that's generally true of my music, and hopefully it's just a good commentary on Scandinavians, and you know, it doesn't mean they like boring music, I don't know. I don't drive a car because they run on gas, but if I did, it'd run on biomass. I ride a bike, or sometimes a skateboard. So fuck off all you drivers and your yuppie hordes. Sitting all day in the traffic queues, I'm a better anarchist than you. I don't eat meat, I just live on moldy chives or the donuts that I found in last week's dumpster dives. Look, you people in that restaurant, I think you are so sad when you could have been eating bagels like the ones that I just had. I think it is a shame all the bourgeois things you do. I'm a better anarchist than you. I don't wear leather, and I like my clothes in black, and I made a really cool hammock from a moldy coffee sack. I like to hop on freight trains, I think that is so cool. It's so much funner doing this than being stuck in school. I can't believe you're wearing those brand new shiny shoes. I'm a better anarchist than you. I don't have sex, and there will be no sequel, because heterosexual relationships are inherently unequal. I'll just keep on moshing to anti-flag and crass until there are no differences in gender, race, or class. All you brainwashed breeders, you just haven't got a clue. I'm a better anarchist than you. I don't believe in leaders, I think consensus is the key. I don't believe in stupid notions like representative democracy. Whether or not it works, I know it is the case that only direct action can save the human race. So when I see you in your voting booths, then I know it's true. I'm a better anarchist than you. I am I'm not a pacifist. I like throwing bricks, and when the cops have caught me and I've taken a few licks, I always feel lucky if I get a bloody nose, because I feel so militant and everybody knows. By the time the riot is all through, I'm a better anarchist than you. I'm a better anarchist than you. So there you go. Okay, I'm now scrolling through these songs that I have on my iPad here in alphabetical order, looking for things that seem like songs I should play for an online festival in the Arctic of Norway. And this one comes to mind. I just scrolled upon it. You're sitting there in front of me, floating in a cloud. Your chocolate eyes meet mine, you're whispering out loud. Words that make me shiver, thoughts that make me melt, and I can only be thankful for the deal I've been dealt, for the birds outside this window, for this guitar on my knee, for the smile on your lips, for the good you found in me. Looking at the wood stove and the towels upon the sink, with your fingers on my forehead, all that I can think is life is beautiful. For the way you kiss my fingers, for the way you hold my hands, for the way you look in those leather pants, for the times like now when I just gotta roll another smoke, breathe deeply for a moment and take another toke. Life is beautiful. It's over and the afternoon is done. We can spend the evening dreaming of the rising sun. And even when the shadows look me right in the eye, I feel your heart within my belly like the stars up in the sky. Life is beautiful. Life is beautiful. Because it is so, so beautiful there in the Norwegian Arctic. But then I come to the next song on the next page, and it seems appropriate to do as a contrast, because this country, as I mentioned, is a failed state, and that was so true way before the pandemic. And this is a song I wrote last year. Gotten so much worse since then. In 2019, looking around at the tents and trash and excrement scattered on the ground, so many mansions overlooking the sea, stretch limos, Rolls Royces, and movie stars all over Los Angeles County. It's 2019. One thing I know is most people wish we could rewind to a couple of decades ago, before the rents tripled, folk began to move out, into their cars, into their tents, where drivers look on however loudly you shout, it's 2019. But in a black and white photo, it could be 1929, wherever you go. In every single neighborhood, hungry people wonder why some make billions on a blockbuster while so many are left out to die. It's 2019, where every 8 hours someone is found cold on the sidewalk beneath the glass and steel towers in the wealthiest nation in all of human history. So far from paradise, so close to Walt Disney, it's 2019. There's no Dust Bowl, just real estate speculators and all the lives they stole. I don't know what to think when I hear the reporters say 1,000 people died last year living on the streets of LA. It's 2019. The sports world, they're all figuring out how to deal with the issue of a lack of noise from the crowd, you know, when the players make a big play. And you know, it turns out according to some studies, I think that, you know, when you play for your own audience, like at a home game, you have, I guess they call it the home advantage, right? And you play much better if you're in sports. And, you know, and that has a lot to do with the reaction of the crowd. And so they've been for the online, sports that are happening in stadiums that have no audience, or no spectators, they've been piping in crowd noise. And in many cases, as you've probably heard on listening to media, because it's a big story, you know, they are piping in crowd noises that have been previously recorded at other games of that particular team, But as far as I know, for the online concerts, there's no such efforts being made. So I don't know, but something needs to be done. You can't be having people do concerts when the audience can't even comment. So I'm glad to be playing on the Facebook page of Carl Soy, because at least I know people are watching on there and can comment. So it's sort of like a little bit of reaction. But we need to work on this interactivity here on the internet, because real life is interactive. It's much better. That's why we like real life. One of the reasons, because it's the interaction is more authentic, and so we can approximate that, but we need to do better. Anyway, of course, but would be nicer if the pandemic would just end and we can go back to, you know, playing gigs in crowded little clubs full of sweaty people. However, when people talk about doing a tour, a socially distant tour where you're not playing in packed clubs, unfortunately, the math doesn't work, you know, unless you have massive government subsidies for the arts, you know, it doesn't work, you know, because it was barely working before in the packed little clubs, you know, you can't like have them half filled or something. Back in the 19th century, as I'm scrolling along here, I've gotten up to M in my iPad full of lyrics, and it reminds me of something I actually learned from Bjorn Hugo, hanging around with him in front of his Banana Moon shop at its old location. I remember walking down the road there in Svartlamon in Trondheim, and coming across Bjorn Hugo, and then he was reading a book, and I approached him and looked at the book, and it was a very, very large history of Norway. I think he had like multiple volumes of the illustrated history of Norway, and one of the pieces of information in that book was that throughout the 19th century, 50% of the population of Norway left Norway. Were refugees. That should be a normal thing to say. I was born in New York City. My people came from far away. They fled the generals and dictators, the warlords of Moscow and Budapest. You could be conscripted for the rest of your life, or you could head west. My great-great-grandparents were refugees too, just north and west of Brittany. Farmers in the hills somewhere, on the starving side of the Irish Sea. They fled their colonial torturers. They fled starvation, slavery. They fled across the Atlantic along with millions of other refugees. My great-grandparents were refugees, but getting to the other side took such a toll, it seems, that my great-grandfather died. So when his son was a little kid, he grew up without a dad. And that's typical of the hard life so many other refugees had. My great-great-great-great-grandparents were refugees. Let me tell you what that means. They were escaping war-torn lands ruled by tyrants, kings, and queens. They did not come seeking fortune. They were not pioneers. Leaving home, their hearts were broken. All their cries fell on deaf ears. My great-grandparents were refugees. No one taught me that in school. It's dangerous information in the old game of divide and rule. My name is David Rovix, and I know who my people are. They're on that raft upon the ocean. They're in the trunk of that car. My great-grandparents were refugees. That should be a normal thing to say. I was born in New York City. My people came from far away. And this is, we are reaching the conclusion of my concert for the Karlsøy Festival in Norway. From here in my living room. And I wish I was at this festival in Norway, because I love that island. The weather there in August is so nice. If I appeared to be complaining about the freezing weather, I was not. I was just commenting on the fact that it was freezing, you know. Like, it's only a problem if you're trying to perform in freezing weather. Otherwise, I love the freezing weather, and I much prefer it to this heat. was back in the day at some point, whatever that day was, but when I was a bit younger, before I had kids, or at least before I had three kids, back when I had one kid, I used to still, you know, I was still touring a lot anyway, and I would often book my tours so that I was touring in Australia in the Australian winter and, you know, and then touring elsewhere in the Northern Hemisphere during the winter here. And that way, I never had to experience summer anywhere. It's like migratory, being a migratory bird, except much more carbon imprint. I said I'd play for an hour, so I'm going to do one more song. And thanks for whoever out there has been listening. And the rest of the, if you're looking at, wherever you're looking at, I'm scrolling down on the bottom is the website for the festival if you want to actually watch the rest of the festival, which will be broadcast on the festival's Facebook page as well as on other platforms that is are linked to the festival's website, karlsøyfestivalen.no. And I won't try to spell that for you. If you're looking at this, you can see it on the screen. If you're listening to it later, you know, just do your best. K-A-R-L-S-O-Y, more or less, except there's like a little line through the O, you know. Oh, and good. Somebody in Karlsøy is watching. At least there's, that means there's at least two people on Karlsøy watching. So that's wonderful. That's what's very impressive because that's like 10% of the population of the island, at least the year-round population. I'll conclude with one song, another song I wrote recently. It's at moments like these, everything is in the air. The possibilities are nowhere and everywhere. You gotta break a bone to set up. Now all we are is broke. A lot of folks are saying it's time to be woke. And they're not talking about microaggressions, but the really big ones. The basic assumptions, like planets circling suns. But there are no natural laws that built your mansions or your tents. These are creations of society, like mortgages and rent. It's a future of uncertainty. But our liberation can only be as free as our imagination. If you were born and raised to believe it's sacrosanct that whoever has a whole lot of money in the bank deserves to then live off of the wealth from the houses they own. And if they raise your rent, you gotta move or take out a loan. Then how can you demand your human rights if you don't believe you have any, as if you deserve your plight? But if things were hard before, now the system has flatlined. Time for those basic rights to be redefined. It's a future of uncertainty, but our liberation can only be as free as our imagination. All these vaunted freedoms added to the Constitution as an afterthought after Shay's rebellion did not include the right to land, or the right to eat, or the right for human beings not to be dying on the street. It's moments like these, standing on the edge, that we might catch the strongest breeze to land furthest from the ledge. We can fly, you know. All you need is wings. We can house and feed each other. Together, we can do anything. It's a future of uncertainty, but our liberation can only be as free as our imagination. It's at moments like these, everything is in the air. The possibilities are nowhere and everywhere. Lovely to hear about all those folks watching there in Karlsøy, and thank you for watching. Apparently there were 25 people gathered around a small stage there watching. as well, I just learned. So it's all very exciting. And it's been really fun, despite the social isolation of being socially isolated, aside from, you know, seeing comments and stuff. Anxiety has doubled, I think, in this country since the pandemic, probably elsewhere as well. But I'm broadcasting most weekdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. in Norway. Most weekdays I interview somebody here on the internet on my various platforms, if anybody out there watching this is interested in more. And I'm doing a concert at 9 p.m. Norway time on the last Saturday of every month on my various Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, etc. platforms, if you want to tune into other stuff in the future. And thanks for listening, everybody, and I'll see you around. Keep on keeping on. Hope to see you someday soon in Norway again. Bye-bye.